Today we're going to start a series of messages concerning our redemption, the redemption that we have through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And I'm going to make a statement. I want you to listen to that statement, and then I'm going to prove to you that that statement is true, all right? So here's the statement. Through faith in the completed work of Jesus Christ, we are redeemed, we are totally set free from Satan's power and dominion, and no longer slaves to sin. You believe that? All right. Well, you got to think through it, though. You got to really think through it. The title of the series, again, is called The Reality of Redemption, and today's message is titled The Power of Renewal, all right? I wonder if you stand with me, please, and we will do our Bible declaration. If you would grab a hold of your Bible and raise it over your head, raise it towards heaven, and repeat with me. Are you ready? Nobody said, are you ready? No. All right. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am, have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus, I receive it. Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. I want to read to you a few scriptures this morning, just to get your mind set in the channel of redemption. First of all, what Weston read. I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, okay? And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. You know, that's got to be probably one of the hardest things that we face to do, is to be transformed. Because I don't think any of us want to be the person that we were before we came to Jesus. Amen? And the Bible tells us, be transformed, but then it tells us how to be transformed. And that's what I'm going to talk about today, okay? How to be transformed. But it also, Psalm 137 through 8 says, O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Psalm 107:2. I'll see if you're awake here. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. All right, a few of you are. Okay. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And then Ephesians 1:7, and I want to read this out of the Amplified, says this, in him we have redemption and deliverance and salvation through his blood, the remission or forgiveness of our offenses, shortcomings, and trespasses, in accordance with the riches and the generosity of his gracious favor. That's good stuff. Amen? That's good stuff. Serena, could you come up and pray for the service?
I figured if he asked me to pray, I was going to say something. So, excuse me. I don't know if anybody watched the memorial service for Charlie Kirk last week, but if you did, you had to take at least one thing away from it. And the one thing that I took away from it was he opened his mouth and he allowed the Holy Spirit to fill it. Amen. Every place he went, he decided that it was going to be an opportunity to share Jesus Christ with whoever he met. In order to do that, he had to put something in for the Holy Spirit to use. Get in your word.
Amen.
Get in your word and let the Holy Spirit put stuff in your spirit so that when you meet that person who needs to hear about Jesus, you can open your mouth and the Holy Spirit will flow out.
Amen.
That's our goal. Mm-hmm. That's our purpose. Out of all the things that we're going to learn here about redemption, our main reason for being redeemed is to share Jesus Christ with those that we come in contact with. Mm-hmm. It's not to change their heart. It's not to change them. It's just to share the love of God, how much he loves them. Mm-hmm. And then you allow the Holy Spirit to do his work, just like he's doing the work in you, mm-hmm. to do the work in them. If you didn't watch it, go just pick out snippets of the memorial service and listen to what they had to say. It will be well worth your time. Father, we come before your throne right now, and
yes,
we
Lord.
Thank you, God, that you are such a good, 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 good God to us, such a faithful, merciful God. God, we are nothing without you. We have nothing without you. You are our all in all, and you fill us all in all. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that's here today that will lead us and guide us into all truth, and that when we know that truth, when we apply that truth to our life, we will be set free.
Yes.
And whom the Son sets free, we set you free in here, Holy Spirit.
We do.
Is free indeed. There's no turning back. That becomes our turning point. When we allow you freedom in our life to do what only you can do and go where only you can do and go where only you can go. Holy Spirit, have your way in our life and in Pastor Wes as he gives us this word.
Yes.
And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Mm.
Amen. 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 You know, I've probably said this before. I know I've said it before. You know how many sermons I've preached in this church? It's like over 1,000. Yeah, well over 1,000. Anyway, you know, she said, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. The word order of the Greek is actually, he who sets free the Son is the Lord free, is the Lord's free man. Okay? So as soon as you decide to let Jesus work in your life, okay? When you decide to let him work in your life, then you're going to experience freedom. Amen. You remember that little statement that I said at the beginning of the sermon? I'm going to say it again, okay? Through faith in the completed work of Jesus Christ, we are redeemed. We are totally set free from Satan's power and dominion and no longer slaves to sin. But, to experience and fully enjoy the benefits of our redemption, we have to be continually renewing our mind, okay, with the truth of God's word. And Serena touched on that already. Otherwise, we will live in what's called the illusion of being in bondage, okay? The illusion of bondage. And the illusion of bondage brings you the delusion of still being imprisoned. And I know that I'm set free. Are you with me this morning? I think you should get excited about it. I am set free this morning. I believe that you are set free too by the blood of Jesus Christ. But that changes everything. Say that with me. That changes everything. The enemy doesn't want us to realize that we have been set free and redeemed from the curse of the law. Okay. The way he thinks is, you know, I'll just fool them. I will make sure they don't understand what they have in Christ. I'll make sure, in fact, I know what I'll do. I'll make them not read the word. I'll make them so busy that they don't have any time to read the word of God. Why is that important or why is it not important? It's simply this. The word of God is what renews your mind.
Yes.
You have a certain way of thinking, and you know, I'm sorry, most of the time it's stinking thinking, right? It really is. But when you let the word of God renew your mind, like Serena said, you suddenly have different things to say. You can speak scripture. I remember one time when Serena's brother came at her for us being saved, right at the beginning. And she had memorized some scripture. And he said a couple things, and she said, just scripture, back to him. He said a couple more things. It was even meaner. And she said, just scripture, back to him. And he got so upset and mad that he got done talking, and he just left, okay? The word of God carries power.
Yes, it does.
Amen. And it carries power mostly to convict you and to convict other people. I think probably the reason why it bothered her brother so much was he was raised in church, but he was out of church. And he had those same scriptures coming back at him, and he just didn't have an argument for them. Are you with me?
Amen.
Okay. You see, the enemy would rather keep you and I imprisoned under his control, doing his bidding, rather than experiencing the will of God and the plan of God for our lives. So I'm going to ask this question, you know, what does it mean to be redeemed? What does it mean to be redeemed? If you're like most believers, you haven't really stopped to research this, okay? You haven't stopped to research the reality of your redemption and the fullness of your redemption. Most of us, if we've been in church any amount of time, we've sung songs about being redeemed by Jesus and his blood, you know. But by and large, even though we have sung songs about it, even though we have praised God about it, we really haven't grasped the fullness nor the depth of what he really did for you. The fact is, when God created the heavens and the earth and the first people, Adam and Eve, all right, absolutely everything was perfect. Eden was perfect, okay? Nothing was, I mean, it was great, right? There was no sin, nothing. But when Adam and Eve chose to disobey God by eating the forbidden fruit, sin and death entered the world, okay? And through this act of disobedience, if you will, consequently, all of mankind came under the dominion of Satan. How did that work? That's the way it works, okay? And that's just the way it is. The act of disobedience, it changed everything for everybody. Absolutely. You might say, we all were swallowed up, if you will, into Satan's will and enslaved to do his bidding. And since no human being could be good enough or would be good enough or could work hard enough to get back in right relationship with God, in order to make that happen, because that's what God desired, you know that God loves you, God wants to have a relationship with you. That's what this whole thing is about, okay? We're reconciled to God because he wants to have a relationship with you. We talk about religion and relationship, and there is such a difference, and there is a big difference in that. But the truth is, you have to be religious in your relationship to make it worth anything. Amen. Anyway, to make that happen, God came to humanity in the form of Jesus Christ. Jesus lived a sinless life and died a criminal's death in order to pay the price for our sins. And through faith in Jesus Christ and his atoning work on the cross, you and I are redeemed. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
Okay? That's the truth. Now, there's four different Greek words used in the New Testament, okay, to denote redemption. And these are agorazo, ex-agorazo, lutru, and apolutrusis, all right? I'm not going to talk about those today, but I just want to get you ready, okay? But these four terms are all derived from the concept of the slave market during the first century. And wouldn't it be? Wouldn't it be? I mean, that's where Paul lived, okay? Let me explain a little bit about the slave trade then. When a buyer entered into the slave market and saw a slave that he wanted, then he would pay the price that was demanded for that slave, okay? In a similar way, when Jesus came to earth, he entered into Satan's slave market, okay, and saw you and I in slavery to sin. He took one look at us, and this is amazing, really, if you think about it. He took one look at us and made the decision right then and there. He didn't wait to see if you were good enough. Hello? He didn't wait to see if you were going to do it just right. He made the decision right then and there to purchase you and I, to redeem you and I, and to make you and I his very own. And the price that he paid was the highest price anyone has ever paid for a slave, all right? What was the price? Tell me. He paid the price with his own blood, all right? With his own blood. In Psalm 107:2, the psalmist said, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." If you have repented of your sins and invited, I didn't say if you are perfect, all right? I said if you have repented from your sins, and you know whether or not you've repented. Just saying I'm sorry doesn't always mean being repentive. Do you get it? Okay. There's something about the word repentance. It carries with it the idea of turning around 180 degrees and running the other way. And you know why you do that? Because then you can't do that thing that you used to do, that you repented of. All right. But, you know, if you made Jesus the Savior of your life, the Lord and Savior of your life, the truth is you're redeemed. God has delivered you from Satan's slave market, and he's adopted you into his family to forever be with him. He has set you free from the power of darkness. Glory to God. I mean, you ought to get excited about this morning. He has set you free from the power of darkness and translated you into the kingdom of his dear Son, just like it says in Colossians 1:13, which I'm going to get to. The Apostle Paul talks about our liberation or our freedom from Satan in his letter to the believers in Colossae. And he said this. All right, and you can turn there if you like, because we're going to stay there for a little while. Colossians 1, 13 and 14. Now, I can recite it to you in King James, but I'll read it to you in New King James. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, or translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And there's just a number of different words in this passage that help us understand what Jesus really did for you and I. I think when you finally grasp what Jesus did for you, I think it suddenly becomes a no-brainer to serve him, okay? Suddenly those things that you kind of really want to do, you realize just how grateful you are for what Jesus did for you. Maybe you didn't know before, but once you realize it, it changes who you are. And if that's another thing that changes everything, is having the knowledge of what he did for you. But there's a number of important words in this passage. One of them is delivered. In the Greek, this word is ruami, which means to rescue, to snatch from danger, or to deliver, all right? The word depicts removing someone from danger or oppression, and it carries the idea of being snatched out of danger. Oh, hear this now. It carries the idea of being snatched out of danger just in the nick of time, all right? That's the way God works. I'm sorry. You've been praying. You want something to happen. But you know what? He answers that just in the nick of time. And I can't help but believe that he does that because that keeps you going back to him. You know? You keep on going back to him and praying the same thing where if you got the answer right away, you just say, hey, thanks, and go your own way. He wants a relationship with you. Okay? He wants a relationship with you. Now, I don't know about you. When I think of that just in the nick of time, I think of my own salvation and when I got saved. And the truth is, he snatched me out of the devil's clutches just in time. All right? I had made a total mess of my life. Everything that I had that was worth anything to me, I was about to lose. I was going to lose my wife, my kids, my house, everything. All right? But just in the nick of time, say that with me, just in the nick of time. How many of you think that Jesus stepped into your life just in the nick of time? Amen? Just in the nick of time. In fact, Paul used this word, and the reason why tells us that when Jesus came to earth, he was really on a divine rescue mission, okay? That's what he was doing. He was rescuing you and I. He came to snatch you and I out of the enemy's dominion, and he did it just in the nick of time. Glory to God. Also notice, now this is a small word. It doesn't seem like it's really would be important, but notice the word from. Paul said God delivered us from the power of darkness. This word from is the Greek word ek, okay? Say ek. You got it, ek, which means from or right out of. In other words, Jesus, just at the right time or in the nick of time, snatched us right out of the hands of the power of darkness. Now realize that. And think of the times of temptation in your life. And the truth of the matter is that Jesus snatched you away from that. Well, then how come I keep falling to temptation? Because you keep falling. Because you make the decision to do it. That's why. What Jesus provided for you, if every time, you know, we were faced with temptation or a sin, We understood or remembered, say remember what Jesus has done for us, it wouldn't happen. But we don't do that. We like to turn down that road because we think we can turn down that road one step. But you know, really two steps doesn't matter all that much. And three, that's not that bad. And next thing you know, you're there. And you're going back to God. And you're saying, I am so sorry. And hopefully you are, you know. Hopefully it's still at that point. The word power that's in that scripture comes from a Greek word that denotes authority, control, dominion, and influence, all right? And the word darkness is a Greek word, and the word is skotos, which describes darkness and everything that's connected with darkness. Did you hear that? everything, everything that's connected with darkness. The moment we repented of our sins and asked Jesus Christ to come into our life, the Bible says that God translated us, or, you know, he moved us into the kingdom of his dear son. We go from living here on earth, okay, in the spirit, to living with God in heaven. Do you understand what that means? I mean, that's good stuff. I mean, that's awfully good stuff. The word translated or conveyed in the Greek is methistemi, and it means to transfer from one place to another. I know some people have been transferred because of their job. Some people just move a lot, like Serena and I have, you know. But it means to transfer from one place to another. So again, now, when you got saved, when you accepted Jesus, you were immediately transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. How many are you happy that that happened? Amen? Another way of putting it is like this. You were rescued from Satan's slave market and adopted into the family of God. I know what it means to adopt kids. I know that adoption is not easy, okay? It isn't easy. Because those adopted kids, guess what? They don't always do what you want them to do. It's no different with God, okay? But he adopted us. Glory be to God. He adopted us. Man. But if all this is true, you know, you and I have it made, right? But if all this is true, you have to ask yourself, am I living free? Am I really living free? Or am I in the illusion, if you will, of bondage? Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Pretty clear, okay? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus paid the wages for our sin through his death. That's the way it is. Now, Jesus' lifeblood, now hear this, Jesus' lifeblood canceled all the devil's rights to you and I and completely freed us from the control that Adam gave him. Because, you see, Adam gave him control. Now, Jesus took it back. Oh, you ought to shout at that. Adam gave him control, but Jesus took it back, okay? And so now we live for the one who owns it all, okay? He's just rescued us, amen? You should give the Lord praise this morning. I mean, where would you be? You know, where would you be? I think about that so often. Where would I be? You know, and especially in times when I don't seem to be able to get a message ready or do, you know, where would I be? If this decision that was prompted by God, if I hadn't said yes, that was prompted by God, okay, and I was still living in the world, well, I wouldn't be in church, I wouldn't be preaching the word, I wouldn't be with my wife. Darn it. No, I don't mean that. I just get a little tearful, okay. I wouldn't be with Serena, I wouldn't, in fact, at that time, I think we only had two kids. Four of our kids wouldn't be, okay? It's just amazing when you remember. And I think one of the, and you know this, that one of the biggest messages that the Bible gives you and I is that we have to remember. We have to remember, we have to rehearse what God has done for us. Don't forget what he's done for you. But that's what it means to be redeemed. And through our redemption, we have Christ's healing and his total deliverance transferred to our lives. You know, you might be thinking, if I'm redeemed and set free from Satan's authority and his control and his dominion, you know, then why does it seem like the battle is still raging in my life? Why is that? And if healing and deliverance are part of our redemption, you know, why am I still dealing with darkness and trying to break free from these bad habits that I've got in my life? How many of you know what it's like to try to break free of bad habits? Okay, all right. And those are all good questions. One of the best ways to answer them is by giving you this example. At least I think so, okay. I heard the story that I'm going to share with you. Several years ago, the police called a man in the middle of the night informing him that one of his animals, a goat, okay, had gotten out of his barn and had been hit by a car and killed, all right. So the man quickly got up, put on his jacket, and rushed to the place where the dead goat was supposed to be lying. I don't know why I find this funny. It's the goat. I know, it's the goat. However, okay, when he arrived at the scene, he discovered that the goat wasn't dead at all, okay? But what happened was someone had stolen the goat, tied it up, tied its legs with a rope so that it couldn't move, and then dumped the goat along the side of the road. I don't know why. The man reached over, and he untied the rope that held the goat captive and then slapped it. Sorry. And then slapped it and said, "This is going to ruin the story. You know that, don't you?" But he slapped it and said, "Get up." But the goat just laid there, as though it was still bound and unable to move. Again, he slapped the goat and said, "Get up, goat." But the goat continued to lie on its side as if it were incapable of moving. The man began to examine the goat. He was looking to see if there was some place where he was wounded and that would possibly keep him from getting up. Then he noticed that the animal's legs were still tightly clinging to each other as though they were still tied with ropes. The problem then became quite clear to the man. The goat thought that it was still bound. Now think about this. So the man bent over and picked up the goat. He did it again. Set it on his feet and slapped him again, telling the goat, "Get up." Well, finally, the goat realized that his feet were no longer bound. It began to jump and to leap in its newfound freedom. Now, the truth is, many Christians are just like the goat in this story. Okay? All of us were previously held captive by Satan's destructive power. He had tied us up in his slavery and then dumped us off in dark, secluded places, waiting for destruction to completely run its course in our lives. And when you and I heard, and not just heard, when you and I received the gospel message and were born again, the Holy Spirit, how many love the Holy Spirit this morning? The Holy Spirit came to live inside of us and untie Satan's bonds from our lives. But so many times, we aren't aware that we're freed. I think it's, isn't it an elephant also that if it's tied to a peg and has like a 10-foot rope and it can only walk in that 10-foot diameter, when they take the rope off that elephant's feet, he only walks in a 10-foot diameter because he doesn't realize he's got more. How many Christians live all their life not realizing what they have in Christ? Amen? What they have because Jesus died for them. But through Jesus' redemptive work on the cross, he legally removed the bondages that had bound us. However, even though this liberating work for us has been done, if we're not aware of it, or if we don't understand it, and if we don't know how to apply it, you and I remain bound, okay? Because we're living in the illusion of bondage. And just like the goat owner looked at his goat and said, "Get up." This morning, I think Jesus is looking at you and I and saying, "Get up. It's time for you to get up. It's time for you to get moving. I've already untied all the bondages from your life. The chains have fallen, okay, that are at your feet. I've already paid the price for your freedom with my own blood. Stop living in the illusion of bondage. Why? Because you are redeemed. Amen? You and I are redeemed. Glory be to God. You want to read the list again? We're redeemed, okay? We've been set free. It's amazing. So if Jesus is saying that to you and I today, and he says that in his word, and his word speaks to you and I today and tomorrow and the day before and on, I don't know about you, but I think it's probably time to break free from the illusion of being bound. How? By renewing your mind. Okay, you got stinking thinking going on. It's time to get righteous thinking going on. Amen. As a believer, one of the most important habits you need to develop and put into practice is the renewing of your mind. The freedom that Christ bought for you and I becomes a way of life only, say only, only as you replace your wrong thinking and you're wrong believing with right thinking and right believing. And you wonder, you know, that's good. That sounds real good, but, you know, how do we do that? You do that by believing what God's word declares about your new condition in Christ. Amen? Now, come on. Although your inner man has been born again and made completely new, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, your mind and your body needs to be conformed to the image of Christ. Okay. This process is what the Bible calls sanctification, okay? And it's the process of working out your salvation through the power of the Holy Spirit, according to Philippians 2. Wrong thinking, wrong believing, and memories of terrible experiences. We've all got those, right? Memories of terrible experiences will only serve to keep you living in the illusion of bondage. As you begin to dig into the Word of God, His absolute truth, and you have to believe that the Word of God is the absolute truth. It isn't some collection of sayings that they just threw together randomly. It isn't something that, well, you know, man has had his way with the Word of God. You know, I don't care what translation, except for like the New World Order and New Jerusalem, maybe the Passion. I don't care which Bible you read. You're not going to be misled, you know? Well, I like a paraphrased Bible, you know, the one that doesn't really say everything is exactly right. Well, it says it right. It just gives you the story, not the exact language, okay? But I don't think there's a Bible around that will really lead you astray. In His absolute truth, okay, it exposes the lies that you have been believing. And I don't know about you again, but when I think of that, that's such a true statement because there's a lot of lies about God that people believe. I mean, they think He brings terrible things upon them, you know. When the Bible says only good and perfect gifts come down from the Father of lights in whom there's no variableness nor shadow of turning, okay? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's not Him. But as you really begin to dig into the Word of God, His absolute truth, again, exposes the lies that you have been believing and the fears, okay, the fears that have been paralyzing you from moving forward. You know, some people, I've heard this, you know, well, I don't want to do that because, and I know God's calling me to do that, but that's not a good thing. God is good?
All the time.
And all the time?
God is good.
To who? Do you really believe that this morning? Then you've got to believe what the Word of God says, what is given to you as the redeemed of the Lord, okay? Day by day, and this is so important, as you soak in the scriptures, the wrong mindsets transferred to you through your parents, your family members, your teachers and friends, maybe a pastor, okay? Don't ever take what I say as being truth. Go look it up afterwards, okay? You'll find it is truth, but you can't just believe people, okay? You don't just believe that telemarketer, do you? Most of us don't. Don't just believe everything that comes your way. Don't just believe that. Oh, you want to hear a good one? All those hymns of old, you know, they were just bar songs that were rewritten. That is not true. That sounds wonderful. Yeah, the Christians just took those songs they sung in the bar, put different words. That is not true. Go look it up. Some of you are looking at me like, really? Anyway. As you read the word, truth, is uncovered and gradually replaced with more truth. Understand? Do you understand what I mean? The word of God will change you. I'll take you to scripture that tells you that. The word of God renews you. We've read scripture that does that. It cleanses you. I believe it was last week or the week before we talked about that. And it empowers you, okay? For this reason, God has commanded us again and again to renew our minds. Well, how? I just told you how. Read the word. It will change who you are. Read the word. Believe what it says, okay? Believe what it says. And I'll finish, close to finish. with the scripture I started with, Romans 12:2. Be transformed, or just two. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that perfect, or that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It also says in Ephesians 4:23 and 24, be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man or woman, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Well, I can't seem to change. right there. You know, you put it on. You do it on purpose. Okay? Colossians 3:10. Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And I'm going to stop right there. There's much, much more. But I wonder this morning, how many of you, as we have gone through and really, you know, whittled it down to the word of God is going to change us, is going to renew us, is going to make us understand what our redemption is, what we've been saved from. How many of you, with me, would make a renewed commitment, if you will, to reading your Bible every day? I don't care if you read 3 chapters a day. I don't care if you read 15 a day. I don't care if you read 1. But that you would read your Bible every day. How many of you would commit with me to get the truth of the Word of God into you? Why don't you stand with me if you will do that? Gentlemen, if you would begin to pass out communion. You know, communion is a very serious time. You know, because we remember the death of our Lord until he comes again. And so, what I like to do is we'll go through the communion service, and in that, just make a commitment. If you've stood and you want to make a commitment to reading the Word of God every day, listen, it doesn't even matter if you just read a verse. I think more than one verse is more beneficial, but if you can only get one verse in, just do that. And then don't forget about it the rest of the day. Think about it the rest of the day. But during communion, one of the most serious times in Christendom, okay? During communion, why don't you make a commitment between you and the Lord, okay? Because that's the commitment that's really important. Make that commitment to him. And when we take communion, we'll seal that. Paul said this to the Corinthians. He said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Okay, I'm going to pause. I'm going to say this. You don't have to be a member of this church or a member of the Assemblies of God or any church. Hear me, you just have to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and then you can take communion with us, okay? Okay. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man or let a woman examine themselves, and so let them eat of the bread and drink of the cup." What's that? What that's saying is if there's something in your life that is just standing out to you that you need to get right with God, make it right, then take communion. It doesn't say don't make it right. Sit on it. Think about it for a while. and don't carry communion. It says just make it right, which would be just saying, Lord, I'm sorry, and meaning it. And then the Bible encourages you at that point to take communion. Okay? Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Has everyone been served? All right. Leslie, would you pray for the bread, please?
Oh, Father God, what an honor it is to come before you and partake in this. Signifies Jesus' blood, his body. Father, we are so unworthy, but you have counted us worthy. Help us, Father, to never lose sight of what you did for us on that cross. Help us, Lord, to really understand the price that you paid that day.
Let's take the bread together. Father, we thank you this morning for the cup, God, which represents the blood, which put our sins as far as the east is from the west. Thank you, God, that the blood is as powerful today as it ever was to save and to set free. And we thank you for that. We thank you that you freely decided to go out of your love for us to the cross. In Jesus' name. Prayer partners, if you would come to the front, please. If you look, there's two prayer partners here, two over here. If there's anything that you need prayer for this morning, please, I don't want you to leave before you receive prayer. I don't ever want you to have to say that they never offered to pray for me at Central Family Worship Center, because we believe in prayer. So please come to these people. They will pray with you, and they will continue to pray throughout the week. Amen? Amen. Let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. Of all the songs that I sung, all the hymns that I sang, talking about you redeeming us, thank you, Lord, that I can now begin to understand what you really did for us. God, a slave seldom ever got set free. God, you set us free. You break that thing that we have with sin, Lord, and you set us free. And God, we thank you for that. And Lord, let those who have made the commitment to begin to read their Bible, even if it's only a verse a day, God, I pray you would bless their effort. I pray that as they meditate on that word, that scripture, God, I pray that those who would do that, God, that they would begin to get revelation through your Holy Spirit. And we'll thank you for that. In Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen and amen.